Welcome to Kidney Talk, a program of Renal Support Network, a show that streams health, happiness, and hope to the kidney community. You can download all Kidney Talk shows from iTunes and find a variety of resources to help you navigate this illness at rsnhope.org. Please welcome your host, Lori Hartwell, who has lived with kidney disease since the age of 2.
Well, welcome to Kidney Talk. Today we're going to be discussing a topic I don't think gets enough attention, and that is the gut. And we're going to be talking to Dr. Richard Johnson, who's a professor of medicine at the University of Colorado. And he has done so much research, and he's an educator, a clinician. He's board certified in internal medicine, nephrology. And, you know, the person I really like is the infectious disease doctors. They are super smart. And so today we're going to be talking about some things that are happening to help the gut and our overall kidney health. So welcome to the show, Dr. Johnson.
Lori, it's great to be on your show. Happy to be back.
Well, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, I, have been a doctor for now over 40 years. And during that time, I've spent a lot of my time taking care of patients with kidney disease because my primary specialty is kidney disease. But I also have a very strong research program. I've been funded by the National Institute of Health and other groups. And so I've done a lot of research and trying to figure out how the kidneys get damaged, how they can repair themselves, about diabetic kidney disease, about this mysterious epidemic of kidney disease that's going on in Central America. And so I've done a lot of research, and I also have kind of become an expert on sugar and nutrition. My work took me into understanding how diet affects kidney disease, and particularly sugar. And when I started studying sugar, I began to realize that sugar was driving many, many diseases, like from obesity and diabetes to high blood pressure and dementia. And so I've actually done a lot of studies on sugar. More recently, I've also been working on other things. But one of the ones that I'm known for is uric acid, which is often a problem in kidney disease. And I've been involved in clinical studies and as well as the basic science. And we've even studied kidney disease in animals like wild cats and domestic cats. So I've spent my career trying to figure out how to help people with kidney disease and trying to figure out what causes it and how to treat it. And what I've been so excited about, Lori, is that the last 5 years have seen some of the great breakthroughs in therapies. And we now have all these new drugs. We have this SGLT2 inhibitors and GLP-1 agonists, and they've been found to be helpful in kidney disease. And now it's for the first time ever, we're getting to the point where we think we can stop kidney disease from progressing or get very close to doing that. So, I should say that, you know, there are diseases that drive kidney disease, of course, like diabetes and so forth. But when you control diabetes and you still have significant kidney disease, the kidney disease is known to continue on even when you like control diabetes.
It's chronic.
Yes.
That's what people don't get. It's just chronic. It keeps
slowly scarring down further.
Well, you know, can you explain a little bit what uric acid is? Because, you know, we see, I mean, it's obviously got the word acid in it, so it's got to be bad, right?
Yeah, there's some truth to that. Yeah, uric acid is bad, okay? It really, really is bad, and especially bad in kidney patients because most animals can break uric acid down and just degrade it. And they have an enzyme for it, but we humans do not have that enzyme. And so we have to get rid of the uric acid we make. And we can make a fair amount of it. We make it when we break down tissues. It's sort of like a byproduct of the DNA and the nuclear material that's in our cells. When they break down, they form this thing called uric acid that we have to get rid of it because if it accumulates, it can be a problem. And so the kidneys and the gut are the two main organs that get rid of the uric acid. And that's really important to remember, is the kidney gets rid of 2/3 of it, and the gut gets rid of 1/3 of it. And when the kidney disease occurs, we get less goes out the kidney, so the gut has to work harder. And one of the things that we're going to talk today about the gut is how people are developing probiotics that can help the gut get rid of the uric acid. And so that's really important. But anyway, when uric acid accumulates, it can form crystals. And when it crystallizes, it typically likes the big toe, and it causes this joint pain called gout, severe arthritis. And sometimes the urate crystals can form little nodules in your skin, these bumps in your skin that can be made up of these crystals. And now we know that these crystals can even form in the blood vessels and in the kidneys and in the eyes and in the superficial skin and in the back. And so some people with kidney failure can really accumulate a lot of uric acid, and they can present in funny ways. And many doctors aren't aware of how bad this can be. So gout is really common in kidney patients. 1/3 of patients with chronic kidney disease have gout, compared to maybe 3 or 5% of the community that don't have kidney disease.
I got gout before, when my third kidney was kind of puttering out.
There you go.
I thought I broke my ankle.
Yeah.
But it was gout.
That's typical. But to get back to this, yeah, I'm an expert on uric acid, and I'm a firm believer it's a bad thing. And if you do have gout, you should definitely be on medication to lower your uric acid. So anyway, but that's, kind of opens the door to the gut.
So when I think of uric acid and I think of the gut, is that attached to, acid reflux?
No.
Okay, good. Okay,
So the stomach makes acid, more like hydrochloric acid, but very dilute.
It's a different acid.
It's a different kind of acid. But it can really be a problem. There's a debate, because there's more and more information that uric acid just isn't about crystals and causing joint pain, but that it may be like a cause of other things that people hadn't really thought of. So, for example, there's some evidence that it's involved in actually making the kidneys worse. There's some evidence that it's involved in diabetes, in helping drive diabetes. One of the things is it's produced, although kidney failure is a main reason that your uric acid is high, is because it's retained because the kidneys aren't working. But you can also get uric acid, or it can be produced from food we eat. And the classic food that raises uric acid, some of them are called purines. And these are found in like very rich meats, like especially seafoods, like oysters and lobster and crab, shellfish really can make a lot of uric acid. But the other one that does it is sugar. And that's how I got really involved in it, is that when you eat sugar, and it's actually the fructose that's in sugar, that when it's metabolized, it generates uric acid. So people who eat a lot of sugar or high fructose corn syrup are at increased risk for getting gout, just like kidney disease is. And if you have kidney disease and you drink a lot of soft drinks, you're very likely to be getting gout someday.
I always explain diabetes, when your sugars aren't controlled, it's like little crystals running around in your blood vessels, scarring them. And so it sounds like it's the same thing with uric acid. It's just little crystals running around, scarring your eyes and your kidneys and everything else. So, I think that's fascinating, because we have so many more diabetics today, and that makes sense because we're eating more sugar. We're not, I think, consuming more lobster and shellfish.
Yes, you're absolutely right. It's clearly sugar that's involved in the rise in uric acid in the general population. I've even written about that. So like in 1920, uric acid levels were very, very low in the general population. And every 10 years, they changed the range of what's normal for the diet. So now the normal uric acid went from about 4 to about 7. So yeah, and with that we see a rise in diabetes and other things. So you are 100% right on this. Yeah, we're not eating more lobster. It would be nice to.
Well, I think, you know, it makes sense. I mean, you know, sugar is a crystal, you know, and, you know, it's just manifesting itself in a different way, right? I think that's, it's very
clever.
Well,
you could think of it that way. You could think of it that way.
I know. I like to think out of the box. So
that's good.
But you know, when you got into gut health, now, do most nephrologists think about this? Because, you know, probiotics are in everything. Like, you know, you go, there's yogurt, probiotics.
Well, I'll tell you about this because
okay,
it's a really good
point. Okay, I
want to
hear all about it.
So in the nutrition world, probiotics are everywhere. And then among people who are not doctors and just regular people in the community, everyone knows about probiotics. But in the world of kidney disease, most kidney doctors, like me, were always not focused on probiotics at all. And when you go see a kidney specialist, I bet you he does not say, what probiotics are you on? I'm just absolutely convinced that he or she would not say that. And that's because we, for some reason, our specialty has not really viewed gut health and probiotics as very important. And we've been focused on the kidney itself and how can we slow kidney disease. And we give all these medicines to control blood pressure and blood sugar, which we know can damage the kidney. And I'm one of those guys that was doing that for decades. And now we're finally getting pretty close at controlling kidney disease, but we're giving all these super expensive medicines with all their potential side effects. And it would be great if we could fix things with just nutrition and diet. And, you know, wouldn't it be wonderful if we didn't have to take all these pills? And so as we get better at slowing things down, some of us, like me, have been wondering, you know, do we really need to take all these medicines? How can we improve our diet? And when I realized how bad sugar was and that I could induce kidney disease with sugar, I became very interested in nutrition, diet, and kidney disease. And you can't really study nutrition without understanding that there's a big player, which is the gut. Everything we eat goes into our gut. And good foods and bad foods tend to generate good bacteria and bad bacteria. So if you're eating really crummy food, the bacteria that live in our intestines become bacteria that like sugar, that like all these things, and they produce bad things from eating it just like we do. And we absorb those things and suddenly we're not so healthy because the gut microbiome or the bacteria in the gut are actually playing a role in making us worse. And, you know, this was really only known for like the last 20, 30 years in terms of in general, but with the kidney, it's even known only maybe 10 years. But what we've learned is that people with kidney disease often have unhealthy bacteria. Not everyone, but most people have all these unhealthy bacteria that relate to the kidney disease itself and also to the things we eat. And so I used to go to the national meeting every year and listen to all the great science in the halls. You know, the big theater rooms where 10,000 people would listen to someone who's going to get the Nobel Prize talk about their discoveries in kidney disease. But in the background, there were all these rooms where people would have set up little tables and sell their products and so forth. And I used to wander through there and I ran into a gentleman who was a microbiologist. And I'm boarded in infectious disease as well as kidney disease. So I had a natural interest in talking to him. And I said, what is a microbiologist doing at a kidney meeting? And the guy said, well, I want to help people with kidney disease. And I thought, wow, am I really hearing that from this guy? He was from India. And he said, no one has really worked on developing a probiotic for kidney patients. There's like nothing where it's been done for kidney patients. And it turns out that he had this dream of making a probiotic that would help kidney patients. And he found when you a probiotic is basically a capsule that carries bacteria in it. And those bacteria can replace the bad bacteria in your gut. And so we know all these like healthy bacteria. And so there you can there's also like a healthy bacteria in yogurts, for example. Uh-huh. And so so it turns out that a lot of people take probiotics, but they don't take them geared for the kidney. So what he did actually, to his credit, is he started, he wanted bacteria that would make the gut healthy, because the people with kidney disease often have what we call a leaky gut, where their gut doesn't really hold everything it's supposed to. It's, you know, it's supposed to digest, and then you absorb the proteins that have been digested and the carbohydrates that have been digested and the fats that have been digested. You're supposed to absorb those, and then those you can use them to make energy. But when the gut is leaky, you can get things into the system that aren't supposed to get in the system. So people who like have serious allergic reactions to peanuts, for example, they have a leaky gut that allows some of these peanut proteins that are supposed to be degraded, they actually get through the lining of the intestine and set up the allergic reaction.
Does a leaky gut mean that you basically have thin skin that can get stuff through? I mean, I'm thinking of like a mesh. It's just kind of, you know, let some things through, but not everything through.
Yes, that's, you know, so there's a cellular lining, but the cells are attached to each other. And where those attachments are, they can weaken. And then it's like a becomes a sieve. Instead of being a barrier where things have to go through the cells and get digested and absorbed, now they can sneak through. And so, yeah, that's not a bad way to think about it. Thin
skin. Yeah, well, it's just kind of like a dialyzer in a way, in my mind.
Well, actually, you're brilliant, because that was the second thing that Rangan did, which is, so he wanted to make the gut healthy, and that people knew how to do that. You make healthy bacteria,
right.
You give. But he also wanted to make the gut be like a dialysis machine. And to remove the bad guys. So he started screening bacteria to see which ones chewed up, you know, nitrogens and ammonia and all these bad products and creatinine and urea and uric acid. He actually looked at uric acid that I particularly got me interested.
Because when you think about bacteria and, you know, like, not all bacteria can fight certain bacteria.
Right.
Exactly. I mean, that's just like the infections, and, you know, they're all like little tiny armies living in our body that keep duplicating, and then they attack us.
Yes.
It's just like a little mini army on our body.
It is like a mini army, and you want them to be on your side, not on the other side.
Yeah, we want we want them to be working for us, not against us.
So anyway, so
about fighting.
Yeah, exactly. Or making peace, you know. We'd like to have a happy family down there.
Well, kidney disease is silent. So people don't know they have all this gut issues going on.
That's right.
I mean, and so then it's way too late, because they've had, I mean, my uric acid's a little high. I know that. I'm on my fourth transplant, so I'm gonna go look at it, but I don't feel anything because, and basic probiotics, or that's prescribed, or yogurt, something like that, that doesn't always, I mean, you know, it's a little bit above normal, but now I want it to be below if they keep moving the number. I'm like, well, wait a minute.
They do keep moving it. Just in the last 20 years, I watched it. Yeah, I'm like amazed and appalled. But anyway, so let's get back to this story, because, you know, so Rangan developed a probiotic that could degrade creatinine and so forth when he mixed them in a test tube, right? So I went to him and I said, look, you know, I would be interested in trying your probiotic on some guinea pigs, not really guinea pigs, but laboratory rats, but it's the same idea. I'm going to look and see if they can help kidney disease in rats. And we did this study with actually a lady named Gabby Sanchez Lozada, and we found wonderful results. We found that when the lab rats ate the probiotics, that they could protect their kidneys, and their kidney disease was better, and their blood pressure was better. So I talked to him about this, and he got even more excited and decided to not only market this because it's just a probiotic, but also to do a clinical trial. And unfortunately, during the clinical trial, he got sick himself and passed away. But I've been approached by the company because they've got results in people that looks promising. It's statistical improvement in kidney function, but admittedly, it's not a huge difference, but it is a real difference. And it was only after 6 months, and usually you can't see much change after 6 months, even with the most powerful drugs. So it's very promising. And so I told them that I would be willing to, you know, as a consultant for the company, that I would be willing to pass this information to anyone who's interested. It's my feeling is that, you know, if you do have kidney disease and you think that it might be getting worse, you may want to try this and test it on yourself. We have all these testimonials of people who go on it, who feel better and their kidney function improves. But there are obviously people who probably it doesn't help, and maybe they already have healthy bacteria.
Well, you know, we're going to bring Betty on the line real quick.
Oh, yeah, good.
And then we'll come back to you because I have a few more questions. So we were just talking about patient testimonials. And tell us a little bit about your journey when you started learning about this.
So I was diagnosed with CDK in 22. And at that time, I was just really devastated because I had no idea. And during that time, it was so, I didn't know anyone else. Well, I did know someone that had chronic kidney disease. As a matter of fact, my brother-in-law had chronic kidney disease, but I wasn't close to him enough to know his story. I talked with my PCP about how I was feeling, and she said, well, let's just wait a little while. Let's just wait a little while and see if you're going to be all right.
Like, I don't want to wait.
Exactly. I want some. So we waited, and it didn't get better. So at that particular time, I decided that I was going to do some research. And the research that I did was just internet research.
And you found this product. So tell us a little bit about, you know, you brought the product to the doctor. And what did she say?
As a matter of fact, I went online and I saw this story with this person called James. And I copied his diet. I copied everything, and I went to the store, and I bought everything that he bought, and I ate what he ate, and my numbers went up. They started going up, but they didn't stay. They weren't stable, up and down and up and down. To make a long story short, I saw James every now and then. He'd bring this bottle out, and he says, oh, Renadel, it's just great. I take two every morning, so anyway, I decided that that's what I was going to do. I took Renadel for 3 months, and my results were phenomenal. And I say that that is what saved my life.
So it continues to help your kidney function increase?
The kidney function increased, my appetite increased, my weight went down, because I was doing those things that
makes a happy gut.
Oh my gosh, I am so happy now. I'm so happy.
You know, I watched this video on a TED Talk one time, and it really made me understand. It was called How Bacteria Talk. And it was fascinating to me. And I would probably become an infectious disease doctor because they are brilliant little suckers. And there's two sides and we're the host. They want to fight us too. So, but in this particular video, there was a beach animal or something in the water. But when they took it in the lab, when the bacteria decided to attack, they all turned on. So there was a thought about the next generation of bacteria is to kill the bad bacteria with sound waves. And I thought that was fascinating. So this is like kind of up my alley. I've been thinking that it's how do we get rid of the bad bacteria and increase the communication of the good bacteria? This is right along those lines. You're getting rid of the bad bacteria and increasing the good bacteria that can kill or fight uric acid or make the gut healthier so it doesn't leak uric acid. Is that a correct assumption?
Well, definitely. According to my research, you know, there's quite a few bad guys. Uric acid is one of those bad guys. And yes, the bacteria, good bacteria, will get rid of the uric acid. But there are other good guys and bad guys. It isn't just uric acid that's the bad guy.
What's some other bad guys? Because we're going to put them on a target.
Well, there's this one called TMAO. It's kind of like a poison that's bad for hearts. And it's really generated largely by the bacteria. And then it gets in our blood and can do havoc. There's a good guy named betaine. That seems to have really beautiful effects on the body. It's like an antioxidant and it helps general health. So there's good guys and bad guys. And, you know, it's interesting. We've done studies like even in the wild and animals that, you know, like you probably all know that brown bears hibernate in the winter. When they hibernate, they quit urinating. So they go into kidney failure. So for like 6 months, 6 months, the bear has no kidney function, right?
And you know how they don't want to go to the bathroom, a predator will find him.
Yeah. They're kind of the biggest guy on the block, but they there's not a lot of food for them. So when they hibernate, they'll live off their fat because there's no food around. And so they just kind of sleep not so deep as a normal animal that hibernates, but their temperature goes down. But what's interesting is their urea in their blood, even though it should go up if you don't have any kidney function. You know, this is what we call the BUN. I mean, everyone with kidney disease probably knows that their BUN is high. The bear has bacteria in the gut that take over for the kidney, and they get rid of that BUN. And, we did some studies. And also they get rid of this bad stuff like the TMAO. It goes away when they hibernate and betaine goes up, you know, this good guy. So it's sort of interesting. Us animals in the wild know how to modify the bacteria in their gut somehow, probably from diet and whatever, to stay healthy and to help them when they don't have any kidneys working.
Wow.
So, you know, so there's a real biology behind probiotics. What I really want to tell you is there's a real biology. What, you know, whether or not Renadil will be the ultimate, probably someone will make something better one day. Probably, who knows? But there aren't not many people have actually developed probiotics for the kidney. And so that's why I kind of like this product. And that's why I like the scientists, because they're trying to a new way, you know, how can we help, you know, because medicines are so expensive and all these things. Can we find something that might help us? And, you know, they're doing clinical trials. So I'm hoping that we'll be able to publish one of them coming up here because, you know, they do look positive. But we, you know, it's early in the game.
It gives us hope, too.
Yeah.
It gives us hope. And I think what Betty said earlier is when you were a patient and you get those diagnoses and you leave the hospital or the doctor and you don't know anything, you feel so fearful because you don't feel in control. And that's why we turn to Dr. Google. And, you know, sometimes we get some bad information. Everything's not good out there. You have to be very careful what's out there. And it looks like, you know, Betty did her due diligence and made sure she didn't. I mean, I see this one purple drink being stirred right now that if you drink it, it cures your cancer. I would caution
it. Yeah, don't drink purple Kool-Aid.
It'll cure everything. It'll put you to sleep for 6 months or forever. But, you know, you have to be mindful of that. But at the same time, you know, we're a whole body connection. And for so many long, the healthcare community has focused on one organ. And I always remember I went to this meeting one time and a nephrologist had brought a patient with him who was in a wheelchair. And there was a buffet and he asked me to pick out the food for the patient. Because he didn't know what the patient could eat. And I'm like, you know, and that's the silos of the different, you know, that's the dietitian's job. And I mean, food is so important.
Yeah. No, you're preaching to the choir, as they say.
I know, but I just thought it was comical because, you know, I'm sure I'll pick out the plate because he couldn't get to the buffet. So I'm sure I'll go pick out some choices for him because it's never, I always complain, why don't you try to do a renal-friendly buffet at these conferences? And they laugh at me. And I'm like, and I said, well, I'm going to be the phosphorus police then, you know, because there's enough phosphorus to kill a horse on that table. But I think that we're all connected and, you know, I'm excited what the future brings. And so how do people get this prescription? You know, do you have to get your doctor to write it? How does that work?
And no, you do not need it. This is not a drug. It's a supplement, a nutritional supplement. So you do not need to have a prescription. But should you talk to your doctor? I think it's not a bad move to say to your doctor, you know, I'm thinking of getting a probiotic. There's this one specific for kidneys. What do you think about it? And, you know, the truth is probably most of the kidney doctors haven't thought about it, but it's always good to get their opinion, right? And then when you take it realizing that there's evidence that it's helpful. There's like Betty's testimonial, and there are many people who really believe it's helping, but not everyone necessarily gets help from it because everybody's gut is different, right? So some people are going to have healthier bacteria than others, and maybe it won't be enough to show a difference from what they already are doing right and doing or have or lucky about. But so my recommendation would be that if you're interested, try it for 3 to 6 months. And during that time, you know, what you do is you get your blood work done before and then just kind of watch it at the end of 3 months or 6 months, check it. And if things are getting better, you know, you might consider continuing it. And if things aren't doing better, but you still feel better, I mean, you can decide yourself if it's worth taking.
Well, and I think also you probably should educate yourself on high purine foods at the same time.
And sugar.
Like, you know, you can't live on a cruise and eat all the shellfish every day and then think there'll be a difference, right? I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. I love shrimp baskets, but boy. Yeah, you can't eat too many of those. That, you know, that's going to raise your uric acid. Shrimp and, you know, for sardines, mackerel, anchovies, these little oily dark fish that have a lot of nuclei. You know, they're very like sardines.
Yeah.
Sardines aren't particularly good. But other fish, you know what, like tilapia is great. Salmon is great. Think about all the benefits you get eating salmon. And they do have some purines, but they have a lot of other good things. But
we got to have you back and talk to us about that because I'm really curious. And well, I think this is fascinating. I think we all should learn more. And Betty, where are you at with your, what stage are you in now of kidney disease or what's your GFR?
Actually, my GFR is 64.
Oh my gosh. Congratulations.
Before and you know, I'm just very pleased because at the time it was like at 40. And this was this past June.
Oh,
and
wow.
I say that Rentville saved my life because not only did I do that, but I decided that I was going to go on almost a plant food diet.
Yeah.
So I ate foods that were good for my gut.
Yes.
And it's very interesting, however, that when you go to the doctor and they say, okay, are you on the, what vitamins are you taking? I said, I'm taking Renadyl. It's a probiotic. She said, oh, I'll just put probiotic. And I said, no. You have to put Renadyl.
Good for you.
I don't know if insurance covers it. I think it's probably different for everyone. You know, some pay for things that you, I don't know. Because every time I go to my mailbox, I find another bill. So, and it's also, they're not paying for anything anymore. But I do think that knowledge is power. And that's what you did, Betty. You know, we need to know as much as we can about our bodies so we can be educated advocates for ourselves. And, you know, if nothing else, it makes us feel better doing things. I mean, it makes me, you know, it's like you get that new diet, you know, it's the first of the year. You're like, I'm going to lose some weight. And then, you know, it gives you hope for about 3 weeks till you see that chocolate cake. But, you know, I think we need to just learn more about how our bodies function. And I think I learned a lot. I am fascinated by the bear. I am really fascinated by that.
Yeah. Bring me back to talk about kidney disease and animals. I can do that. We can talk about cats and lions and all kinds of things.
Well, and I worked for a while in a companion animal hemodialysis unit.
There you go.
Up in Sacramento.
Wow.
And so I know it was fascinating. And I don't know if you're the one that told me this at a conference. Somebody told me if animals in the wild don't get attacked or anything like that, they die of kidney failure. Like, that's the natural progression as you get old if nothing happens to you.
Actually, I'm going to correct that.
But okay,
if you do studies like in cats, you'll find that cats in zoos and even in safari parks where they're fed by us, they get kidney disease just like domestic cats. And there's a big epidemic of kidney disease in domestic cats and also dogs.
Right.
And zoo animals. But the lions that are out there in the wild, true wild, generally we don't see so much kidney disease in them. But again, you're probably right. A lot of them die other ways with trauma or something. So,
well, I'm all in because I run a pet rescue. Me and my husband do.
Oh, good for you.
I love it. I'm fascinated. I mean, animals are just wonderful. And if I can learn more about how to help them. And yeah, the little black poodle that helped me through the 12 years of my dialysis. I wouldn't be here if I didn't have him.
And I have a little guy with that has hurt his knee, and we've got him all wrapped up, and he's happy as a clam now, running around. But
you know, they teach us so much, and they do so much of our research that we have to respect them. I mean, I'm
good,
you know. So, well, thank you so much, both of you. I appreciate your time, Betty. I hope you follow us. Anybody who's listening can follow us at rsnhope.org, at RSN Hope on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok. And, you know, we'll be publishing this podcast soon. I look forward to learning more about animals and the gut. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
You guys are very fun.
It's a good gut feeling you left me with.
Thanks for listening to Kidney Talk, a program of Renal Support Network. Please make sure to find us on Facebook or sign up for our newsletter at rsnhope.org. Kidney Talk is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment from your physician. Always seek the advice of your own healthcare provider regarding your medical condition.